On the Pace, brought to you by Bling It On and For a Reason. To book your mare this season, go to comedyequine.com.au.
27:11 on the pace. Time to look at what's happening harness racing right around the country. Jason Bonington there. Good morning.
How are you, Cozzy?
Very well, mate. Back again.
Yeah, back again. Back again. One last week here before Hasty. I think he's on a tin pigeon right now coming back from America. And all reports are he had the trip of his life over there for the World Drivers' Championship. So look forward to hearing all the stories. Hopefully he'll be with us tonight on In the Gig. Myself and Jason Lincoln, that is. It's 28:11 right now, though. And you are listening to On the Pace. And it's all about the Breeders' Crown Super Sunday coming up at Tabcorp Park, Melton, of course, on Sunday morning and afternoon. And hopefully we'll be catching up with Mick Stan this morning, as well as Grant Dixon, who had a real shock winner on Saturday night at Bendigo on the semi-final phase of the Breeders' Crown with Red Charmer, but also a very good performance from Colt 31. So, look, it's been a little while since the Sunshine State's had a big role in one of these Futurity series, but potentially that could be the case on Sunday. And then hopefully we'll also have a quick chat with Karen Manning, who has got a couple of key runners. And I also want to discuss with her Amaretto, who went spectacularly well on Saturday night in the Breeders' Crown Graduate Mares Free-for-All and is nominated to go around in the Graduate Free-for-All on Friday at Tabcorp Park. But first things first, hopefully we're joined by Mick Stanley on the line. Good morning, Mick.
Morning, Jake. How you going, mate?
I'm very good, thanks, mate, probably because the weather's lovely up here in Sydney. I was in Manly last night overlooking the beach. What's the weather like in Ballarat?
Oh, mate, it's beautiful here in Ballarat today. Actually, we've got a little bit of sunshine through, so we're just not too sure what to do at the minute.
I'll slap on some zinc if I were you, mate. Your skin will not know exactly what's in it if the sun is actually out. Now, we have to, of course, talk Patacula. Everything's clicking at the right time, mate. She was magnificent and tough and brave in her heat win of the series where she had to work so hard in spectacular time in the breeze and get the better of Mike Asino Bell, then got the softest of possible victories at semi-final phase on Saturday night. So, really, fingers crossed, you don't want to jinx it, but things couldn't be going any better.
No, that's right, Jace. You know, it's probably the best lead-up she's had, barring the New South Wales Open, to a main race. So she's pulled up after Saturday night really well, as you'd expect after a soft run. So, yeah, hopefully things can roll on into Sunday.
Is that exactly what you wanted? I mean, sometimes, I guess, depending on the fitness levels you get at home, you're looking for a really good hit-out before a grand final. Sometimes you are looking for that soft run. We know it was pretty much a 400-metre race the other day. She was able to zip home in 26 and change. So was that absolutely ideal, absolutely spot-on what you wanted? Because, as we just mentioned, the previous run was sort of a gut-buster. She obviously came through it very, very well, but she was obviously ready to go and fit by Saturday night, so you didn't need another hard run. That's exactly what you needed, a nice soft kill?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jace. You know, for a lot of these fillies, it's been an extremely long year. You know, she's gone through the New South Wales Oaks, Victoria Oaks, Victoria Sires, so she's had a lot of hard racing in the last 12 months, and you know, with some of the runs that she's had, she tends to be always having a gut buster doing the work. So it was ideal just to, you know, give her that easy run and trying to go into Sunday as fresh as we can. Because in the past, you know, she's been going in probably at her full 100%. And this time, hopefully, we can go in a little bit on the fresh side.
Were you expecting you'd get it that easy on Saturday night? Obviously, Mike Asino Bell opted to park you in a very different circumstance in the heat of the race. But I guess, having had that opportunity to see how strong Patacula was again and how well she was going, he took the conservative option and you got the front. Were you expecting that would happen on Saturday night?
Not really, to be honest. I thought they might have been happy to park us again. But as you said, you know, we sat outside it and was three wide for the first lap and we're still able to overcome her. So maybe with the different track, it Bendigo instead of Ballarat had the sprint lane, so they varied to change their tactics. But I know that we went extremely slow, but one thing spectacular is actually very fast when she has the opportunity. I think that's nearly the third time that she has run a quarter in 26 when she's been leading. So I think everyone sees her, you know, as this tough filly because for the barrier draws, we seem to be the one doing the work all the time. But if she can get things her own way, she can be extremely fast at the same time.
That's a really good point, Mick, and I think it's something that probably gets disrespected with a number of horses who are constantly doing the work and breezing in their races. Now, some of them haven't got that incredibly high speed, but certainly Spectacular proved once again on Saturday night. She has 26-2, I believe, was that final section. Now, without bringing up too many bad memories, it's been pretty well documented the poor draws you've had in major races. Six in the APG final was probably the best of them as a two-year-old. Nine in the Breeders' Crown final 12 months ago. Then wide second row draws in the New South Wales and Victoria Oaks. But finally this Sunday, it looks like the draws have fallen your way. She's drawn three.
Yeah, she has got a good draw. I mean, we don't like to reflect on the past too much, but, you know, we've been very proud of what she's been able to achieve in her career so far, even though that a few of those seconds, you know, may have been able to change the result with better barrier draws, but you can only deal with what's put in front of you, and she's been really brave, and we're really proud of her, and she's earned the connections a lot of money along the way. Mm. So hopefully, you know, with the barrier draw advantage over our main rivals, that we can change the result. But we still need a few things to go away. You know, like I think it's probably the strongest race depth-wise for the year that she's been in. So it's not going to be smooth sailing, but it will be nice to be out in front and having the others chase us for a change, that's for sure.
How do you see the race playing out? Because we know with some of those ones drawn outside you now, Particular, the gate speed is clearly there. She, as you mentioned, she's got high speed and she can use it at the beginning of her races. Over the course of the journey, you probably haven't had to or decided to on a number of occasions. So there are a few, you'd imagine, outside or out wide who are going to think the only possible way we can beat Particular on this occasion is probably to try and ping her at the start. Have you got any concerns about any of those drawn outside you, or are you pretty comfortable that Particular is going to find the pegs first outright in the first, say, 150 metres?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty comfortable, Jace. I think if we go back to the size stakes semis when Kiang Secret drew outside us, and Kiang Secret's an extremely fast horse off the mobile, and everyone was saying, I think maybe including yourself, Jace, that you thought Kiang Secret could get across, and, you know, after 50 metres, you know, Kiang Secret couldn't even go with Spectacular out of the gate. So I'm confident when we need to use her that she's extremely fast off the arm, and I'm pretty sure that you know, she will be again on Sunday.
That's one attribute of good horses, that most of them have the gate speed. Obviously, it's not required that often, and I guess you can get caught up and think that potentially it's not there when it's required, but there's very few very good horses, I suppose, that don't have gate speed, and clearly the indications are that Particular will be fine in the front soon after the start. I'll tell you one thing I love, Mick, is that after all the permutations of a very long season, as you've just mentioned, we end up with the same two big guns. Now, that's no disrespect to Miss Graceland, who's obviously been wonderful throughout the season, and also My Casino Belle, who's a really exciting type, did a wonderful job in Queensland, and you only narrowly got the better of her in a heat of this series. But we're back, seemingly, from the heat winners and everything we're looking at, this great clash, this poetic clash between two arch rivals in Party On in Particular. So there is something a little bit poetic about getting your chance to meet again 12 months after the Breeders' Crown and also the New South Wales Oaks.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a testament to both those fillies, you know, to be in the same position 12 months later. And as you said, even Miss Graceland was in the Breeders' Crown last year as one of the fancies, as well as it will this weekend. So, yeah, it's great that we can have those rivalries in the sport and give us something to promote. I'd love to be able to turn the tables, but she's a fantastic filly, Party On, and, you know, one of the best trainers we've ever seen. So I'm sure that, you know, that camp will have her cherry ripe to take us on again Sunday.
And before I let you go, Mick, just tell us what it will mean for you to be able to win a Breeders' Crown. You're a young man that's trying to build a business. You're doing a terrific job of marketing yourself. You've got a very, very, very loyal fan base and, I guess, group of owners that are supporting you at the moment. But to have this horse Particular, who is a genuine superstar, she's already won multiple group ones, but to have her on one of our big days, if she was able to win the Breeders' Crown, what would it mean to you and, I guess, to your progression as a business and just the feeling to be able to come out there on that big day and win with such a horse that's been so special to you?
Oh, it will mean a lot, Jace. I mean, the Breeders' Crown day is the pinnacle of our season, you know, so that's what we all strive to be there. And you know, you have horses from all over Australasia. You know, you're competing against Mark Burden, Emma Stewart, you know, the McCarthys, you know, horses from WA. You know, it's the absolute pinnacle in Australasia. So, you know, everyone wants to hold their hat on that day. So, yeah, no, it will be. Like, Jen and myself have invested a lot of money in the industry and property, and we've got two young kids, and, you know, we're striving to do the best we can to, you know, provide a good future for our family. So, you know, this win, I suppose, would only give us a great kick on in our endeavour to do that.
Well, you're one of the most popular blokes in the game, no doubt about it, and I think it'll be a very, very, very popular win. Both you and the horse, a lot of people love this horse Spectacular as well. So we've got our fingers crossed for Super Sunday, mate. Good luck.
Thanks, Jay.
There's Mick Stanley, who, of course, has Spectacular going around in the three-year-old fillies final of the Breeders' Crown on Super Sunday at Tabcorp Park. Now we're joined by a man who's coming a little further than Ballarat to try and contest this series. That's Grant Dixon from Queensland. How are you this morning, Grant?
Yeah, good morning.
A few surprises on Saturday night. You came to Victoria with two horses, and really from having spoken to you and on form, Colt 31 was the big dog, the one we were coming here to have a genuine crack at the series, and Red Charmer, who'd qualified, so it had deserved its spot in the series, but probably wasn't expected to make a huge splash. Then it comes out and wins, Colt 31 second, but the filly wins.
Yeah, no, it was a nice surprise. Yeah, she raced well, but she raced extra well too. Obviously, the race was run to suit for something back in the field, but yeah, she was still there to get the job done, so really pleased with her.
So what's your opinion of Red Charmer? Is she just a nice filly? Is she one that you think in 12 months' time could be competitive on a consistent basis in really good races? Or is she just the type of filly that when they do run along the way they did on Saturday night, that she's got good determination and she's able to finish her races off strongly and that's her strength? Where exactly do you see her at the moment?
Oh, look, we're probably a little unsure. We probably thought we got two better fillies at home, but who's to say this filly might have just, you know, got past them. But the family has improved as they get older. But hopefully, you know, it'd be nice to think that she was up to being an Oaks filly next year. But, yeah, obviously, you know, I think Sunday will tell us a bit more about that.
Before we get to Colt 31, who clearly looks the better of your two chances, despite what happened on Saturday night with the brilliant win of Red Charmer at $70 plus, we'll stick with the filly for just a moment. She's drawn okay, and crucially, a number of the major players, particularly from the Emma Stewart barn, are drawn wide in the second row. So is it really just a case of, once again, keeping the fingers and toes crossed that you get that brutal tempo and that's your opportunity to maybe finish on the podium somewhere?
Yeah, I think so. Like, she's going to need a stack of luck there somewhere just to get into a spot, hopefully without burning, and just basically just get, you know, get locked away and then hopefully get a run somewhere past the quarter. But, you know, it's going to be a little bit difficult from the draw, I'd imagine.
Now to the Colt 31, of course. Here was a terrific performance in the opening event on the program, and as I mentioned, certainly looks the more legitimate of your two chances on Super Sunday at Tabcorp Park. But he's in a similar spot, I guess, from that wide front line draw, gate 6. You've got King of Swing drawn 1, Poster Boy and Sicario both off the second row. So let's talk about what's required to give you an opportunity to win the race. Do we need King of Swing to get crossed at the start? Do you need a Poster Boy or a Sicario or both of them to put significant pressure in the race? What are you hoping for to give Colt 31 a winning chance?
Oh, look, you know, same sort of deal. We've got to probably try and get into a spot and hope a few of the fans, you know, obviously, ideally, if King of Swing got crossed, that'd be beautiful. And need the other two to do a fair bit of work, you know, but, you know, it's going to be hard from the draw. I think he raced well enough to, you know, to give him a chance, you know. But, you know, I just think there's not that much between the top, probably the top six chances in the race, and I think whoever gets a bit of luck their way will be winning.
Where does he compare in terms of ability to a horse like Majestic Mac at the same time?
Oh, look, I think he's definitely around the place with him. He's run faster time as a two-year-old than Majestic Mac. Majestic Mac probably had more instant speed, but this fella seems to be able to do his share of work and keep going. We're particularly pleased with him, that's for sure.
So here's the question. I guess we've worked around it a little bit, but drawn gate 6, what do you do? Because we know this horse has won most of its races in Queensland, being head and shoulders above the opposition, being able to go forward and do some work in his races. From that gate, do you commit to at least going forward early on, or do you go back just as you did on Saturday night at Bendigo? How do you see it playing out at the start?
Oh, I think definitely you've got to be up on the gate to start with and have a look across at the start and try to assess the situation the best you can and, and basically work it out from there. I think I don't think you can sort of set yourself into any concrete plans. You just got to, you know, Saturday night I was intending on going forward, but the way the race panned out, I just couldn't do it. And just got to try and drive around it and hope your luck goes your way.
Before I let you go, Grant, just wondering if you've had any feedback from home. I guess it's been a few years since Majestic Mac, and then before that, you know, the great Queenslanders of getting close to a decade ago now, I suppose, your Be Good Johnnies, your Blacks of Fakes, your Slip and Slides, these kind of horses, and it's been a little while between drinks before you've seen the Queenslanders make a huge splash on this series. Has there been some good feedback to suggest, gee, this is a little bit exciting, even knowing a filly like Red Charmer, who you yourself are saying you think you might have even a couple better at home, that there's more of an appetite to think, oh, maybe we can go back and have a crack in 12 months' time at a series like this if we've got one that's good enough, because it has seemed, I guess, in previous years as though it was a pretty hard bridge to cross?
Oh, it is for sure, you know, and it might give other people back home the confidence to come when they see how well Red Charmer went. Yeah, they might consider bringing their filly or their colt. You know, it is a long way to come from home to get to Melbourne, but as everyone knows, you're taking on the best of the best, so it is a particularly hard series to go into.
Well, congratulations on the achievement Saturday night, mate. It would have buoyed your spirits going into Sunday. Of course, the draw for Colt 31 is going to be difficult, but with a little bit of luck at the start, mate, I think he'll acquit himself really well, and we wish you the best of luck on Super Sunday.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
It was Grant Dixon talking about the two Queensland hopes that he brought down. What a wonderful job they did, finishing second and first at Lords Raceway Bendigo on Saturday night as they head towards their respective Breeders' Crown finals. We're going to take a short break now on the pace. When we come back, hopefully we'll have a chat with Karen Manning. She's got some key chances over the weekend at Victorian Harness headquarters.
Every day and every night, Sky Sports Radio's National Racing Service passes on vital information, along with TAB market movers, so crucial to backing a winner.
Here at Gilgandra, if ever it gets underway, you've got number 10, Two and Well Go, $34 into $5.50. Number 10, give it strength.
Two and Well Go and Shintastic, the outside. Two and Well Go, beat Shintastic in a close go.
You can rely on TAB market movers from midday every day, here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
The Big Sports Breakfast.
Lynx's jockey Hugh Bowman says he was always confident that the mare would win the Warwick Stakes.
Ecuador and Fox Play were in a little bit of a race of their own. I thought, gee, it's going to be closer than I thought.
Yeah.
But I didn't think I was going to be beaten, not at that stage, but not that you're sort of going, having all these thoughts. It's more of an instinctive feel that you're feeling. But yeah, I didn't feel in trouble then. It was mid-race that I was worried.
The Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slats, 5:30 weekdays on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, TAB and Volkswagen Amarok.
At Bing Lee this Father's Day, they've got that many things Dad will love, you'll find it hard to choose. Head online to binglee.com.au and check out the Father's Day catalogue. Or head in store and spoil Dad this Father's Day.
101 Classic Hits featuring the Beach Boys and John Farnham. Sing along with Billy Joel, U2 and Bryan Adams. 101 Classic Hits. It has something for everyone.
At Bing Lee this Father's Day, they've got that many things Dad will love, you'll find it hard to choose. Head online to binglee.com.au and check out the Father's Day catalogue. Or head in store and spoil Dad this Father's Day.
You're listening to On The Pace on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Welcome back to On The Pace. It is 9 to 11 on this lovely Tuesday morning, and it's Breeders' Crown Week. That means it's going to be a Breeders' Crown dedicated show on Tuesday. That's tonight on Sky One, of course. Greg Hayes, we're hoping we can get back from America in time, but Jason Lincoln and I will definitely be on the show. Then on Thursday, Sky 2 from 6 o'clock, Adam Hamilton and I will be doing a preview of the major races on Super Sunday at Tabcorp Park. And, of course, all the action on Sunday starting really early. So make sure you are ready to roll. Just flicking through a couple of the markets here before we find our next guest here on the pace. The More the Better is a very short price favourite for the three-year-old Colts and Geldings final after drawing gate one. $1.60 with the tap at the moment. All of these markets reopened. Stars Align, who was disappointing, I think, to the eye on Saturday night at Bendigo, was drawn inside the back row now, following out the More the Better. So it's been given an opportunity to bounce back at $3.80. Motu Media at $5. I'm hoping we can get Kieran Manning on at some stage before the end of On the Pace. But I think on the line might be Cran Dalgetty. How are you, Cran?
Yes, I'm very good. Jason, all's well.
How's the morning been, mate? How are the horses pulled up from Saturday night?
They were a little bit tired, and I was tired. I wasn't even doing the running. they seem bright now. We've got them up off the canvas and got them under the cotton wool. So here we are. Bring on the weekend's racing, as they say.
Now, I thought you looked fresh as a daisy, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, sometimes looks can lie, can't they? You've got to do a full inspection to make sure exactly how everyone's pulled up. So let's go to Master Moonlight first, who I think is... pulled up massive odds here at $11 in the final for the two-year-old Colts and Geldings on Super Sunday. I thought the performance was really good on Saturday night. I thought you were pretty happy with it.
Yes, he did go good. On paper, if you took your stopwatch away, he probably should have actually probably won the race, really. But that's probably the quickest he's ever gone, only having sort of a handful of starts. He's sort of on the way up, where a lot of these other ones have got a campaign under them. So, he's had a tight squeeze. He did blow up quite a bit after the race, so he will be fitter for it, which he'll need to be. But being out the back row, sure, the odds are high, but that's probably very understandable.
So, I mean, the situation there is, I think I spoke to you before the semi-final run, and you were sort of talking about the fact trying to get 3 months' worth of education in the space of 3 days, and it's all coming pretty quickly for Master Moonlight. But in this situation, as you mentioned, with a little bit more fitness underneath his belt, what you really need, I suppose, is for one of those other big guns, a Poster Boy or a Sicario, to sit back early and then get a card in off one of them. That's pretty much the way that you can potentially win the race, I'm guessing?
Yes, that's true. In the perfect scenario, we'd love to... analyse it and have that work out perfectly. It's always around the lady luck, of course, but that's a fair comment. And with a couple of hot pots up front, and it's always hard. There's going to be breakneck pace, which every final is. There's no such thing as a possessed G and Breeders' Final. So we're just looking at maybe dogfights early out of the race or mid race where we can still maybe come over top of them for later. So. I'm going in sort of confident, realistically confident rather than sort of excited about that one.
Well, one you can get excited about, so you can temper your excitement on Master Moonlight to some degree and hope for some fortune in transit. But our better joy, well, if you're not excited, the bookmakers and the punters certainly are. It's in red figures, $1.90 after its excellent performance on Saturday night at Bendigo. She's pretty exciting, this filly. She's got extreme high speed and she's drawn to advantage in gate two. Can we find you a little bit more pumped up and excited about this one?
Yes, definitely. She's one. I don't have to do anything special with her during the week. I'm just got to sort of gear up and play the main and get her to the race day. Really, like, she's really fit and ready to go now. And typical Gavin Lang drive, like you said, he gives a lot of trainers and owners ulcers. And I said, well, didn't help me on Saturday night either. Whatever night it was. It's something we can use to our advantage. We don't have to be specifically top-ending or wherever. She has got speed, so... Yeah, and then the two holes, obviously, are lucrative too. So, yeah, we go in, we're trying to control our buzz, really, I suppose, now I can sum up her next race.
The hard living and the spicy food will probably contribute to any ulcers as well there, Cran. So I wouldn't be blaming the Iceman for all the medical issues that might pop up. One that I suspect you've got a huge opinion of, in fact, I got the feeling, talking to you, you felt as though running a good second to our Angel of Harlem would have been a really nice performance on the weekend. She's drawn three. Do you expect there'll be significant improvement from her and she's the biggest stumbling block?
Oh, most definitely, yeah. Probably the true Aussie sort of summary wasn't sort of to the fore there, because she really rolled. She's probably sprinted for a good 700 metres early and then got some motor matching in the race, and she actually done very well to still run third. Her performance was very good, and with her drawn up three, she's my biggest skier anyway.
And just going through, going through all the very best horses you've had over the past 10 or 15 years, and you've had plenty of them, not too many girls. So, I don't know what that's all about, but is she sort of the most exciting filly you've ever had your hands on, our Better Joy?
We had a wee bit with the breeders. Katie Perry, she sort of went and breeders for us, and sparks on flying 1-1 for us. So, but in saying that, you always could look for your next one rather than reminisce on your last one, of course. But as far as fresh stats, she's probably got the most natural speed of many, and she has got a lot of good rallies that sort of back up her good performances. So I thought it was good training, but anyway, I've just blundered it. Maybe she's just a good horse anyway.
All right, Gran. Well, good luck with these two on the weekend. I know you're going to have a terrific weekend regardless of what happens. You know how to enjoy yourself, but I can tell you right now, I think that our Better Joy is a very good chance. And I even think you've done something pretty unusual for you. I've written this a couple of times in the Melbourne newspapers. You've flown under the radar with a couple of these horses. I'm not sure what the whole plan is, but I think even Master Moonlight's got a serious shot. So good luck on Sunday at Tabcorp Park, mate. We'll see you out there.
Pleasure. We'll try hard.
There's Cran Dalgetty. We might see if we can duck over to Adam Hamilton now. I think he might be having a chat with someone who's making a much-anticipated return on Sunday at Tabcorp Park.
Yeah, g'day, Jace. Good to be on board with you. Yes, I thought we might pop a call into to Lauren Tritton, who the news came through yesterday that she would was she actually going to have a drive at the Menangle Trials today. Now, Lauren, the new mum of Levi, who turns a month old today, has decided that she is going to return to race driving because of the Breeders' Crown on the weekend. So she's going to have one drive on My Riviera Belle at Melton on Friday night, and then she's going to drive this wonderful young filly, My Sweet Chili Filly, in the Breeders' Crown Final, Jay. So if we needed yet another dimension to this meeting, we've got it, and Lauren Tritton joins us now. Lauren, wow, I was really excited when I heard this news come through yesterday. I can only imagine how excited you are. It's been a long time since you've been in a race.
Yeah, guys, look, it's a bit of mixed emotions, a little bit of nerves, but, you know, I'm really, really excited, and, you know, I couldn't be sitting behind a bed filly.
Jason, I don't know about you, but I'm inspired by the fact that just after a month after having Levi, Lauren's going to be driving at the races.
Absolutely extraordinary stuff. I want to know, Lauren, when the actual decision was made. When the germination of the decision came, like it started being spoken about between you and Shane, obviously, and when the actual decision was officially made.
Look, with the filly going a little bit under par on the weekend, you know, we sort of didn't want to make any emotional decisions that night. So, you know, we sort of slept on it and spoke the next day, and we just wanted to change her luck a little bit, and then we discussed whether, you know, I could have a drive. And it's not something that I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to hold off for the new season. I just didn't want to rush into things. But, you know, it was a decision that my owners and Shane and I made between ourselves. And, you know, it was hopefully it's the right decision.
Adam, you've been just about the biggest supporter of this filly. Now, she was below her best, I thought, on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park. I should say Bendigo. But you look at all the previous wins, the dominant wins right throughout the season in Sydney. Can she bounce back? Lauren gets back in the cart. Are you still of the belief we can turn this around in 8 days and she can win this final?
Absolutely. No doubt she can turn it around. And I'm interested as a spectator, Lauren, and also obviously speaking to Chris Geary after the race as well, she just never looked happy. Never, ever looked happy in that race for mine last Saturday night. And just maybe you just have to cut the ribbons and turn her loose and let her run her own race.
Yeah, look, you know, I called the shots at the beginning of the race. You know, the minute she'd come out of the mobile, she wasn't settled. Her head was in the air. She, you know, she got really fired up. She looked really fierce. And, you know, she just didn't finish the race off whatsoever. You know, those races, she hasn't drawn the best. But, you know, the good horses, the ones that beat, have drawn outsiders. So, you know, it'd be one of those races where, you know, we can just sort of let her side go with her and hopefully she powers on.
And Lauren, I'm intrigued. Is this the beginning of, does the comeback go into full swing going on from this weekend, or is this something of a pinch hitting performance come back for the weekend for these really big races? You know, there's a little bit of a lull after that, and then you go back and stay with Levi for a bit longer, and we see you back on the track full time down the track, or is this the start of the full blown comeback?
Well, look, you know, obviously I haven't driven since January, so yeah, it's been a long time coming, but you know, Shane and I, last time I come back was I had 8 drives in one day with an unhealed broken wrist. So, you know, I don't always make great comebacks, but, you know, it just be one of those things to see how I feel and how everything goes. And, you know, fingers crossed, so I'll be back in full swing.
Look, we're really excited that you're getting back to the races. I think my sweet chilly filly might be excited that you're going to team up with her again as well. But far more important than that, how is motherhood and how is Levi?
Oh, look, Levi's really, really good. He's a month old today, so it's gone really, really quickly. I'm very tired, but it's something that you can't really explain the experience. But, you know, it's really overwhelming and, you know, it's good. I've had him at the races once, so, you know, hopefully it's something that I look forward to in the future. It'll happen all the time.
Well, you go from having the ultimate adrenaline rush, becoming a mum for the first time, to getting an adrenaline rush you're far more used to, and that's competing in big races. Awesome news. Really excited that you're going to be part of this weekend, and good luck. It's great to have you back on the track. Best of luck to you and Shane.
Thanks. I can't wait.
Wow, that's sensational news, isn't it, Jace? You know, look, I spoke off air to Lauren about the fact that you know, she's had to deal with her level of controversy through her career and a lot of ups and downs along the way, but she's incredibly resilient. And if anyone can step straight back into the sulky and win a major race, she's probably cut out best to do it.
Well, it's a phenomenal story, isn't it? It's always an amazing program, the Breeders' Crown program, but it's a phenomenal story. So we really look forward to Lauren's return, but I've seen Kristen's wandered into the studio here to give us the sports update. Whitehead there, and keep looking forward to Super Sunday at Tabcorp Park.
Good on you, Jace. Great to be able to chat with Lauren. Well done on the rest of the show, mate. I'll see you for Thursday night preview Sky Racing 2 of the Breeders' Crown.
Sounds good, mate.
Cheers.